Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'm so excited because when this show is over, you're all going to breathe a big sigh of relief. Relief is in sight on many levels, worldwide, universal wide. This is an important interview about breakthrough technology. It's very old technology. It's eternal. But it's being used in new ways that can help us and help the planet dramatically. And to help us understand it is a scientist who has developed machinery with this technology that can improve our lives dramatically. And we want to hear more about it. So let's get him on the air. Tom Palladino, welcome.
Peter.
Hi. I'm so glad.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could join the show. This is so important because you're offering a new way of managing health that no one has ever heard of before. And you're doing it dramatically through the results that you've been getting. There are plenty of testimonials. It's not a question of whether you can do it or not. But I guess there are a lot of details about who we can work with or not, how it works, and certainly why it works, and we want to explain it. To start off, I want to talk with you about scalar waves and what you've done. You have a long history of research into this science, and I'm very excited for you to tell us about what you've done with scalar waves.
Sure, sure. I do have scalar energy instruments. I've developed instruments that actually capture this energy, that can control it, direct it. Now, to start off with a foundation, there's two energies in the universe. Well, modern-day man, for the most part, acknowledges electromagnetic energy, but it's the other energy, scalar energy, or some people call it zero-point energy, or chi, or prana. There is another energy spectrum. And I am working with that other energy spectrum. And what I can do with it is incredible. What I can accomplish with scalar energy cannot necessarily be accomplished with electricity or magnetism. And that's the new and emerging science. That is why this is so promising.
Right. And we want to understand what this scalar energy is, where it's derived from, how we can identify it in different ways that perhaps we're used to. For instance, I would imagine healing energy uses a lot of that, and remote healing.
Sure.
And so, yeah, so the forms that it takes, you know, there are people who talk about bioplasma, electromagnetic energy waves, and then there were two scientists who got very involved in these more unusual currents of electricity. And there was a scientist named Birkeland who understood helical rotating filaments in the universe, that why galaxies are formed the way they are. And then there was another man who named Hannes Alfvén, who was a plasma physicist, who also wanted to look at at energy in these unique ways that showed how energy moves and is patterned, and certainly what you're doing is working with patterns.
That's right. What I have observed is the pattern of scalar energy is a double helix. If you could imagine two corkscrews that are intertwined, well, that's what scalar energy it is. It is not a sinusoidal wave. It is a double helix. And in so doing, this energy then imparts that motif, if you will. It imparts that pattern throughout the universe. So we see this concept of a double helix in nature. Some people call it the Fibonacci sequence. Some people will call that the divine proportion or the golden mean. Well, we see that throughout creation. And all of that is derived from what? From this primal energy. All energy is essentially the intelligence of the universe. So it is scalar energy intelligence that is creating the universe as we know it.
So our job is to work with that intelligence and use it and direct it through our own consciousness.
That's correct. I have theorized, and many other scalar energy researchers have theorized, that human thought, consciousness, memory, intuition, all of that is a some form of scalar energy. Hence, thinking is a function of scalar energy. Well, that only stands to reason. If energy is intelligence, then human intelligence is, again, some exponent, if you will, of scalar energy.
What? How can you understand this in relationship to what's considered the quantum field?
Great point. Let's take a look at scalar energy, and let's call it perhaps a quantum field or a hologram or the matrix. And what do I mean by that? Well, many physicists today consider that quantum entanglement is not only possible, but it is highly, highly likely, highly probable, because the entire universe has to be in communication with itself. You cannot have a disjointed, fragmented universe. So if we look at scalar energy as a quantum field or a holographic field, that would be true and accurate. And indeed it is. Everything is interconnected. Everything is connected within this fabric of scalar energy. It really is one universal hologram. And that's what I find so exciting. And if indeed that is true, and I say it is, then we have the perfect information field. We have perfect intelligence at our beck and call.
And it explains how spirituality works too,
yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Now we can draw down the line, the demarcation line between religion and science. There is no, that's artificial. Everything is one. We can explain the universe now in more common terms because we have this common denominator. Scalar energy will allow us to explain many of these mysteries that up until this point have remained unresolved.
Well, what it does is it finally adds intelligence to science, because science has always disallowed consciousness. And
yes.
It doesn't, our minds aren't supposed to play a role in it. But once we understand that scalar energy is intelligent, then that beckons us.
Yes. It does. It's a matter of fact, and indeed it does beckon us. It almost forces the issue. When you think, you're propagating, you're broadcasting scalar energy. When you have an emotion, you're broadcasting scalar energy. When you pray or have some type of spiritual movement, that's a broadcast of scalar energy. All of those functions involve intelligence. What type of intelligence? It's scalar energy intelligence.
So how about when we're thinking scalar energy?
Yes, we are. Really opens up why some people are so versed in certain subjects, certain topics. How is it that some people are a natural? How is it that some people have a photographic memory? Well, they simply possess that gift of scalar energy that allows them to have a photographic memory or allows them to excel at a specific subject or topic.
Well, I would say that their design, the design of their double helixes,
yes,
attunes to that information of double helixes in, let's call it, the quantum field that understands what their nature is and feeds it.
Yes, and that is why Mozart could compose symphonies at age 5, precisely.
This is awesome. Well, now the question is, once you know that there's a science that works this way and life works this way, it creates a huge opportunity for us. And you've been working with this now for decades and developing a machinery, actually, that you can use your intelligence to inform the machinery how to use its intelligence to broadcast. Now, and we want to talk about what broadcasting is, since we've already understood that it's holographic, and you can broadcast to others, and this is a power force that we all have and we're all using it. It's what telepathy is. You know, that's what intuition is. And yet we're using it scantly.
You're right. Telepathy, intuition, that's all scalar energy. People who have healing hands, that's another example of scalar energy. So many of these mysteries that we could never identify, well, we simply didn't have the right energy spectrum. Now that we understand scalar energy exists, it is intuition. Clairvoyance is scalar energy. A hunch, memory, a movement of the heart, all of that is scalar energy in motion. So you're absolutely right. I've developed instruments that control scalar energy. And what I can do now with these instruments is just, it's mind-boggling.
I guess the question, the biggest question is, how do you inform instruments, scalar sure. instruments, obviously, but how do they get informed and know what to do with the information?
Sure, sure. There's an objective way I can do this and a subjective way. Now, I'll speak about first the objective way. If I want to, say, instruct an instrument, my scalar energy instrument, to break apart, to disassemble the herpes virus, all I need to do is take a photograph of the herpes virus and place it inside my instrument. And then I calibrate my instrument so that it propagates the reverse phase angle of the herpes virus, and that's the necessary intelligence to indeed break apart, to disassemble the herpes virus in a person.
But how does it know to propagate the reverse angle?
It's the way I've calibrated my instrument.
Okay.
That's my control. That's my mastery over scalar energy to the point that I can work with it out of phase and in phase. When I work with scalar energy out of phase, I can easily break apart a germ.
Okay, so you take it out of phase.
Yes. That's correct.
Sounds simple, but I'm sure you know, to create this was amazing. So, all right, so then... you've informed it, and it knows how to do that, and you've seen it do that.
Yes.
And in many different laboratory ways, right?
Yes, correct. Exactly. And again, the key component is this. There's no room for human error. I'm working with a light instrument, and how do I instruct that instrument, that scalar energy instrument? I actually take a photograph of a germ and place it inside my instrument. Hence, my instrument deciphers, decodes the energy found on that photograph.
Yeah, again, all of a sudden, the instrument is representing the photograph.
Yes, correct. Very much like if you would take a CD and put it in a CD player. It's the medium that you're introducing into the CD player. That's the sound. That's the song that you're going to realize.
Right.
Well, likewise.
Right. So the form that's in the photograph, because photographs are true to form.
Yes.
And somehow this instrument knows how to lift the holographic form from the photograph.
Yes.
And then transmute it into an energy that can be broadcast.
Yes, precisely. My instrument does what I tell it to do. So in synopsis, if I place a photograph of the herpes virus in my instrument will decipher the scalar energy resonance on that photograph and then broadcast that very same energy, that identical energy, into the human body. Once it enters into the human body, the herpes virus breaks apart.
Right, but this can also be a dangerous instrument.
It's not a toy. I will say that. It can be used for good or evil.
Right. And most power instruments are that way.
Yes.
And so it has to be in the right hand so that it's programmed correctly.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's mind-boggling. And maybe these technologies would not be given to humanity if we weren't prepared to be responsible for it at this point.
Thank you. That's very astute. I agree with that.
And so let's move forward and understand that so much of this is related to the amount of information that you can give this machine.
That's correct. Now, what I understand about scalar energy, it's an infinite supply of energy from our sun and our stars, and hence it can assimilate an infinite amount of intelligence.
But it has to know what intelligence to assimilate, so
correct.
It's up to you
yes.
to know, you know, for instance, a photograph of a herpes molecule, or
yeah.
what we want to call it.
The virus.
Virus, but it's a molecule. Then you can only help people to the degree that you can have identification of particular pathogens.
That's right. So what I've done, I've made it very simple. Again, I'm taking human error out of the equation. I've amassed over 60,000 photographs of different species of germs, pathogens. And during the course of 35 minutes, I can treat a person for over 60,000 species of germs, all by way of these photographs, these magnified photographs.
Are those photographs kept in the machine permanently? Is that the point?
Actually, I just cycle them in. All I need to do is just place these photographs in the instrument for a split second, and that's the burst of intelligence that I need.
Okay. And what form do these photographs have to be in? Does it have to be on photographic paper? Is it digital?
Just on paper. But okay. The key component, it is a magnified photograph of a germ. It cannot be macro. They all must be micro photographs. And that's all it takes in order to eradicate a germ.
That's amazing.
It really is.
But then again, you know, there are new germs that we don't know. There are retroviruses that seem to be haunting people that are deeply embedded, that haven't been identified clearly. They haven't been, the mechanism of that virus hasn't been seen yet.
That's correct. It's a never-ending search. Let's leave it at that.
Right, and then
we learn more and more about the microbe world than every day that I am involved in research. I come across an article that explains, or at least insinuates, that there's a new pathogen that could be the causative agent of disease.
Right, exactly, like retroviruses.
Yes.
Right, and so. Yet, even with retroviruses, the problem is that it's not always the retrovirus. It's what, because of the retrovirus, that it's activated other viruses that you can already identify.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. So hence the need to have really a vast library of photographs of germs, of pathogens. And that's what I've accomplished. And again, my instrument does what I tell it to do. So if I have 60,000 micro photographs of different species of pathogens, then I'm able to disassemble and eradicate 60,000 potential species of pathogens.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And then how many photographs of people can you offer the machine at one time?
Well, this is the phenomenal matter. I could easily treat 1 million people a day with my scalar energy instrument. Now, I'm going to give you an analogy. There's a satellite, obviously, in outer space that you're getting cell phone calls from, radio, satellite, radio, etc. Well, a satellite can easily connect to 1 million or 2 million radios and TVs and cell phones. Well, likewise, my scalar energy instrument is very much a satellite in the scalar energy dimension. I could easily treat 2 million, 3 million people a day with my scalar energy instrument.
Would it be a good idea to have more than one instrument?
I have a number of instruments. I'm thinking about that. I realize this is about to take off, Peter, and I'm preparing for the rush of people, if you will.
Good. I'm grateful that that you're seeing ahead in that way, because I know personally, and you've had me in your instrument. My photograph has been working with you, and I've been very healthy during that time. So. I'm very
wonderful.
Happy about that. I don't have any great diseases that I'm trying to get rid of. So, but a lot of people do, and those people would, you know, greatly benefit if what they have fits any of the 60,000 origins that you work with. And so many, and we're also talking about fungi,
bacteria, protozoan. Even prions, yes. Okay. Anything that we would consider to be, again, a microbe, a microorganism that would be capable of pathogenic infection. So the treatment that I've instituted is really consummate. I have a consummate way, a simple way of eradicating germs from the body. I do it all by light. It's a non-chemical reaction, obviously. And it works. It works on account of the fact that I'm at the quantum level. I control the germ. That's the key.
Right. And not only that, but what I understand is that you're not killing germs. You're transmuting them. You're disassembling them.
Yes. Thank you. That's very pertinent to mention. When I'm taking a one-celled microorganism, as Peter said, I actually transmute it. I break it down into smaller molecular forms or smaller atomic physical form. So it's, again, it's not a chemical reaction. It's a light reaction. And I'm simply taking a bigger physical form, a germ, and I'm reducing it into elements or proteins.
All right. Now, I want to talk about assembly. We just talked about disassembly. And I know that, you can, because you do these reverses, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, and I don't know if whether you're already doing this or not, but if you can take a diseased cell, not a pathogen diseased cell, but a cell that is broken down in the body, and then take a photograph of that broken cell, and then reverse the angle of it and send it projected back to the person who is living with those broken cells, can that reassemble them in a way that makes them healthy again?
Let me say this. Scalar energy is the cause of DNA. Our DNA, if you look at it, is a double helix. Once we understand how to engineer, work with scalar energy, we will be able to reconstruct the human genome. I'm convinced of that. Scalar energy someday will allow us to re-engineer the human genome and to correct any genetic dysfunction, any mutation. So ultimately, we will be able to correct genetic disorders, genetic disease, as well as cancer.
Right. It's a slippery.
It's all an information field.
It's a slippery slope, too, because there are ways that things are held together that we have to understand first.
Yes.
And then when we fix things, we have to know that we're not unfixing something else.
Yes, exactly.
But I'm sure that, you know, you understand all of this. I can see how responsible you are about everything.
Yeah. It's a tremendous responsibility. It's frankly a tremendous burden in many ways.
It's huge.
It really is. What I have discovered is going to change the world. And it's just a matter of time before this gets out.
Well, I hope that you have people close to you who can replicate all of your genius into work. So it's not all dependent on one person. Although I think responsibly, it needs to be controlled by people who are extremely trustworthy.
Yeah, and I would concur with that. That's why there's some things that I know about scalar energy that I just will not release to the general public. Keep in mind, this energy allows us to control physical matter. We have mastery over the physical universe. Well, that's quite an awe-inspiring gift.
Right. This is amazing what you're talking about. And it's more, I mean, it's, first of all, it's understanding it in a way that we can grasp it and make sense of so much that we haven't been able to make sense of.
Yes.
Maybe our wisdom can know it's there, but we can't explain it. Now we can explain it so much better.
Yes.
But it's also, you know, how to control it, and that's huge. It's the future of our society.
Thank you. It really is. We look at what electricity has done for mankind and look at the advances. Well, it's my contention that scalar energy will have a broader impact than that of electricity.
For sure.
Exactly.
Well, we already see how electricity isn't helping us in the way that creating it is taking too much of the planet and of our lives.
Yes.
To control it and pay for it. And so this is the free energy that mm-hmm. Tesla was talking about,
right?
But in much more expansive ways than
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so let's just talk briefly because we're nearing the end of the show, and I would love to talk with you again in a future show because you're amazing, and what you're doing is super important. But this is available. People can sign up. It's a bit costly, but if they can assemble groups, I'm planning to assemble groups of photographs to send you. I don't think people have to be all photographed in the same photograph. I could maybe assemble them with Photoshop. I don't know if that, I presume that would work.
It doesn't. You can provide either a group photograph or single photographs. What we're getting at, people, is that I treat remotely. I can treat anybody in the world simply by virtue of their photograph. A photograph allows me to treat a person by way of a scalar energy instrument.
Right, and you've been doing that with me.
Yes.
And so I'm excited to for if listeners want to group up, a lot of people go, oh, it's expensive if I do it by myself, but if I get into a group, then it's a lot cheaper. So, you know, people can contact me for that too. So I'll be giving that information out. But your website is?
Selfhealgo.com.
Selfhealgo.com. And you have wonderful information there. And maybe hopefully at some point you can have this radio show available on your website.
Well, by all means, why not?
Oh, good.
By all means. I love to work with you. I frankly have to get this information out. I am an independent researcher. I don't have any corporation or university behind me. So if you can imagine the disadvantage that I have by being solo, well, sure, I need help.
Oh, good.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm so glad to be to know you and to be associated with you in this way that I feel blessed and I'm grateful for the opportunity to help the world know more about the work that you're doing.
And I thank you. Again, I need your help. So this is the beginning of a long-term relationship. How about that?
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Tom Palladino. And I want to thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew. It's awesome talking with you. And congratulations on all the work, the good work you're doing. And my prayers in the Scalar universe are with you.
Thank you so much, Peter.
Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. And I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.